Blog Talk Radio.
Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Where miracles happen. Be set free, be healed, be made whole at Miracle Temple. Deliverance Ministries at Miracle Temple, where Christ lives in me.
Welcome to Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, where miracles happen. Apostle Amanda Walker Bryant wants to make sure you get all that you need through the Word of God. Let us join Apostle Bryant as she teaches the infallible Word of God.
Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel, the 27th chapter. 1 Samuel, the 27th chapter. We thank God for His Word because this is His Word, and we want to honor His Word in this place and respect His Word. So while the Word is going forth, we don't want any walking back and forth. We don't want any talking. We want to reverence Him. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1, and ending at verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hands. I want to talk about today living with your enemies. Living with your enemies. And God had impressed this on my heart because I believe some of us, the ones that are saved, the ones that have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't even realize that you're living with your enemies. And you're living right amongst them, and that's because this is what you have chosen to do. When we look at this verse, and it says, and David, and this stood out in the Word of God. It said, and David said in his heart. So here is David. David was anointed to be king. And this was David, the man that was after God's own heart. This is what David began to say in his heart. David did not speak this. David said it within. And the Lord began to stop me right there because he began to have me to go back on the life of David. We know that David was the one that defeated Goliath. We know that David was the one that spoke the word and encouraged the people that they shouldn't be running from this uncircumcised Philistine. David was the one that let Goliath know what was going to happen to him. And we know what did happen. David defeated Goliath. But then after David defeated Goliath, they began to sing praises unto David. They said that Saul slain 1,000, but David slain 10,000. And at that point, Saul began to eye David. He said next he would want the kingdom. But we already know that God anointed David to be the next king, to be king. But Saul began to be jealous. He began to be angry because people were praising David, because David was winning battles. From that time forth, Saul began to pursue after David. He wanted David dead. And even when David was there to play for him, he began to throw a javelin at David. He wanted him dead. But David escaped out of the hands of Saul. We know it was two times that David could have killed Saul. He cut a piece of his skirt off. That means that he was ripping away the kingdom from him. But David knew that was wrong. And as he began to be, his heart began to smote him, he said, this is the Lord's anointing. This was not for me to do. So David knew that was not his place to do that. And the Lord began to stop me right there because we have some people that say that they know the Lord, but they're tearing people apart with their mouth. They're tearing people apart with what they believe to be right and it's not right. But David knew at the time, no matter what Saul did, no matter how Saul done it, this is still the Lord's anointing, meaning that God set him aside to be king. I have no right trying to take away what God has given unto him. And this is the problem with most of us. We're trying to take away king. And God is telling you today, why are you going to live amongst the enemies, with your enemies, when you know that God got a purpose for you, when God got a plan for you? But David said within his heart, and that's when God began to talk to me about saying it within yourself. Some of us don't have to speak it out. Some of us can say what we want to do within, and nobody can change your mind because you have thought about it so much over and over again, and that's what you move towards. The Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. But the Lord began to share with me, people don't even have to say anything, but yet they're doing what they're thinking on the inside because it's already in their heart. So if you're thinking evil about somebody, and you may be sitting beside them, you may be smiling, you may not be saying nothing, and those people think, oh, they're with me, but they're not actually with you because within there is evil. And David at this point was saying this within himself, just like Hannah. When Hannah wanted a child, the Bible says that Hannah said within herself, words did not even come out of her mouth. She just moved her lips, but it was within that she was speaking unto the Lord. So you can speak unto the Lord within without even saying anything, and the Lord will hear you. He hear your thoughts from afar off. Don't ever tell people something that you're going to do with your mouth, but within you, that's what's actually speaking for you. And this is why when I looked at the woman with the issue of blood, this woman, when she heard about Jesus, I believe this woman kept meditating over and over on the inside, just thinking, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Understand that this woman had to keep thinking it and thinking it and thinking it and meditating on it. And finally, it got in her heart. And because she began to see herself getting to Jesus even before she touched him. And this is how the enemy come at us. If he can get us to think a thing, and we keep thinking that thing, we don't even have to say it. Because he said, if I can get you to think long enough, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, so does he become. You can be thinking something within and don't have to say nothing, and eventually you're going to do it because you're seeing what you've been thinking. And some people are so sneaky because the devil have them that way that you're thinking that those people are with you, but within they are raging wolves. So David was thinking within himself. So he had to be thinking this as Saul was pursuing him. David began to say within himself, he said, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. His thinking wasn't lining up to the plan and purpose God had for his life. David was seeing himself die by the hands of Saul. We go back to Elijah. Y'all know Elijah spoke that word. There was not going to be any rain. And after he spoke that word, y'all know what happened with Elijah and Jezebel. When Jezebel heard about him slinging all those prophets of Baal, then she sent a word to Elijah and said, you will be just like them by this time tomorrow. When Elijah heard the word, Elijah began to see what she was saying, and Elijah ran for his life. The Bible says that Elijah sat up under a tree, and he began to tell the Lord, just go ahead and kill me. Just like the rest of, the prophets. There's no more prophets left. But what he didn't know, God already had a plan. But he was taking it upon himself because he got tired. I don't care what kind of position you in. I don't care how long you've been in that position. I don't care what kind of title you hold. There's not a person in this place that don't get tired. There's not a person in this place that don't do just like David done. Because David was a king. David had a kingdom. God had a plan and a purpose for him. But some of us try to make people think that we're so holy than thou that we don't do just like somebody else would do. So David was ready to give up and give in just like Elijah. And that's where some of us are at now, living without enemies. Your enemy can be anger. Your enemy can be offense. Your enemy could be jealousy. Your enemy can be fornication. Your enemy could be adultery. Whatever your enemy is, you gave in to that enemy because you got tired of going through. But the Lord began to show me Saul and David supposed to have been working together. Both of them was a part of Israel. Both of them supposed to have been working together. We got saints right now that supposed to be working together, and you're working against each other. Saul was jealous of David because he thought, he said, David is getting more praise. He's going to take the kingdom. Come on, God already done gave David the kingdom. But Saul was afraid of David because he knew God was with him. So some of us today are saying we're walking alongside someone that's a Christian as well, but jealousy is amongst you. And when jealousy is amongst you, you're going to talk that person down. You're going to make people think that that person ain't no good. You're going to make people think that that person is the enemy. Why? Because you're jealous over that person. You want to see that person fall. But the thing is, David allowed Saul to allow him to go into a territory that David shouldn't have been in. Who in your life that you've been walking amongst that say that they are Christian, that you're allowing them to allow anger to be in your life, allowing offense to be in your life, allowing greed or covetousness to be in your life? You have to watch whom you labor amongst. You have to be in the presence of the Lord to know what the Lord will have for you to do with such person. So Saul, he was oppressing David so much. I don't know about you, the enemy's going to find your weakest point. And that's the place that he's going to keep oppressing you with. When he oppresses you, it makes you feel heavily burdened. When he oppresses you, it makes you feel dismay. When he oppresses you, it makes you feel discouraged. It makes you feel like, what's the use? I might as well give up. I might as well give in to the enemy. And this is what was happening to David. David was being oppressed because he was being pursued. Every which way he went, David hid in strongholds. And the Lord would tell him to come out the strongholds. See, God was with David. But David got tired one day. And he said, I'm going to perish in the hands of Saul. So he said, it is better. It is best for me. Who are we to say what's better or best for us? Because when we're serving God, God know what's best. He know what's better for us. It's not for us to make that decision, because if God made him king, God is going to protect his kingship. But when we get tired, we get overwhelmed, we get oppressed, we get depressed, we throw in the towel and say, God, your word just ain't working. I've been crying out for healing. I'm still hurting. God, I've been crying out for my finances. I'm still broke. So what's the point of me speaking your word? Come on, do we have some believers in this room that it was just like David? So David, he said, he's going to kill me one day. So it's best for me to go live amongst my enemies. It's best for me to live with the enemy. So he allowed Saul to put him in a place that he should not have been in. How many of us have allowed someone to put us in a place that we should not be in? Because when you hold an offense against your brother and against your sister, you allowed that spirit that was using that person to put you in that place. When you had the power, when you had the right, when you had the authority over the enemy, God said he has given you dominion. He has given you right and authority. And we have the audacity to say, oh, they hurt my feelings. And it wasn't them. You're not fighting against flesh and blood. You're fighting against principalities. Quit looking at people as your friend. The only friend you have is Jesus. Quit looking at people like I can't live without them. I can't do without them. At the end of the day, where are they going to be? The only one that's not going to leave you nor forsake you is Jesus Christ. So you can't just get so close to a person that you think you can't live without that person. The only one you need to be close to and connected to is Jesus. And we're trying to connect ourselves with people because we think people can help us. I remember years ago I would be in situations and God would send me people to encourage me. God is going to send people to encourage you, to uplift you in the things of God. That's what God does, because sometimes we can get at a lowest point that we can't encourage ourselves because we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't been in the Word long enough to know what the Word says. So God has sent somebody to encourage you to say, trust in the Lord. Stand on his word. God is not going to fail you, not in one of his promises. Be strong. Be of a good courage. He will send that person. But at the end of the day, God said, I sent the person with the word, but I don't want you to lean on the person. I want you to lean on the word that I sent through the person. You're too up there with the person instead of being up there with me. messenger. They're the ones that's delivering the message, but we make those people like their God. I remember when I was young in the Lord and when I was going through things in my life, about like David, you get tired of going through. You just want to have some good days, amen? But how many know that God already set those good days before you? But when you don't know, you don't know. So I began to chase after the prophecy. I began to chase after hearing an encouraging word. But how many know that once you get that word die out? That word become old. You know why it become old? Because I wasn't taking that word. I wasn't meditating on that word for myself. I was just thinking, let me call him again and see what else God got to say. I began to act under manipulation. Come on, I got some manipulators up in here. And manipulating me, I'm calling, hey, how you doing? To God be the glory, knowing that I was easing my way in there to say what God say. Come on, we got some manipulators. We got people that just want to hear what God is saying through them. I'm here to tell you, you serve the same God. And whatever God want to say, he will say it to you, but he will confirm it through someone else. So David, come on, David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man that trusted God when it came to that big giant Goliath. David was ruddy, meaning that David had red hair. That was rare back then. He was ruddy. They didn't think that David could conquer Goliath, but David knew it's not me that's going to do it. It's the power of God that's going to come upon me to get the job done. But he need a servant that's willing to obey his word. He need a servant that's willing to stand in the midst of opposition. Come on, this was the same David that said one day, come on, Saul ran from Goliath. And here goes David saying, one day I'm going to perish by the hands of Saul. The same Saul that could not defeat Goliath. The same Saul that knew that God was with David. He was giving in to Saul because he got tired. Come on, we got some tired folks in here today. We got some tired folks that have given in to the enemy, and the enemy is living amongst you. We got some tired folks that's giving in to the enemy. You know how I know? Because you stop giving. When you stop giving unto the Lord, you're giving in to the enemy because your thought says, soon one day I'm not going to have nothing because you're thinking poverty. You got a poverty mentality. And when you got a poverty mentality, that means that you've given in to the enemy. And understand this, that when we give in to the enemy, we're saying, I give you control. I give you control. So David was thinking, if I go into a place that Saul won't come into, then I'm safe. This is what's best for me because he got tired. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, how tired are you? Are you so tired that you have given in to the enemy? Come on, ain't nobody in this place that haven't even given in this morning. Because when you don't do what God requires you to do, you're giving in to the enemy. You're going into some territory that you shouldn't even been going into. So just like David, he was king, but he got tired. So as the Lord began to take me through this, first of all, you got to look at your heart. You got to look at what you're thinking about. What are you thinking about? What have you been thinking about the most for so long? Whatever you've been thinking, that's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to pursue. The enemy know your weak areas. So if he can grab hold to those weak areas, guess what he's going to do? He's going to keep oppressing you in that area. He's going to keep on bringing people. He got to have a body. He got to have somebody he can use to oppress you with something. Come on, go back to Egypt. When they were being oppressed in Egypt, they had hard labor over there in Egypt, and they began to cry out to God. And God said, I have seen their afflictions. And God sent Moses to deliver them. And how many know when it's time for us to get delivered, how many know that the enemy don't turn up the heat even harder? Because he wants us to think that it's best for you to stay here in enemy territory. See, in enemy territory, you ain't going through like you were going through over here. So just take a rest for a while. The Bible said that David stayed here for a year and 4 months in the enemy territory. And he was willing to serve the enemy to get away from Saul. Come on, what's up with that? David was king. David was the one that the one that ran from Goliath. Now David is giving in. Why? I believe oppression had him so much. I believe he got so tired of going through what he was going through that he said, you know what? I'm just tired. I'm just going to go serve the enemy and I can rest a while. Some of y'all think you're resting. Some of you think you're in a comfortable place because you're living with offense. You're living with anger. You're living with bitterness. You're living with sickness. You're living with all of these things, and you don't have to live with them. But what we do, we give in to them because we get so tired and say, this is what I have to do. David quit trusting God. And the thing with David was, God reminded me of this. When I was saying that, you may have be two Christians and you're walking together. How can we walk together unless we be agreed? When two or three are in the, when two or three are gathered in his midst, he's in the midst of them. But God showed me a scripture about David. Go with me to Psalms 55. And this is the hurtful thing right here, and I can understand where David is coming from, especially when people are Christians and they're supposed to be walking together. This is what David said in Psalms 55, 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then could I have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me, that I would have hid myself from, hated me and did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou a man, my equal, my God and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. So David was looking at, it wasn't an enemy. It was someone, my equal, my acquaintance, that I have become acquainted with. And this is how the church of God is becoming. The enemy is using the people of God against each other. Everybody have their own opinion. And when God is telling somebody something, somebody done got another way of doing it. You're going even outside of God because you want people to look up to you. But we're supposed to look up to him. We're supposed to look to him who's the author, who's the finisher of our faith. Whatever God says, that's what we're supposed to do. But the enemy know, if I can come in the midst of you, I can divide you, and I know a divided house will not stand. Did you not know that the enemy, he said, I'm ready to cause opposition at any time? Because I know the weak link. I know which one I can go to. I know which one that want to be exalted, that want people to accept them. See, rejection is full in the church. He knows the people that's rejected. So he knows the people that he can go to try to get people to accept them, hear me, see me. Come on, please be attached to me. And rejection will make other people look bad so you can look good. Rejection will talk about your brother and sister when the brother and sister ain't done nothing because you want to put them down so you can be looked up to. Come on, recognize who's amongst you. Recognize that spirit that's using that Christian person against the other person and nip it in the bud and do just like Paul did. He spoke to the spirit, not the person. He spoke to the spirit of divination. You got to speak to the spirit that's using that person, and you got to come out of your flesh and begin to walk in the spirit and see behind the scene instead of saying, I can't believe they done this. It wasn't them that did it. It was the spirit they allowed to use them to do it, and then they got the audacity to say, I'm still saved. It's time for us to rise up in those positions that God has given us. So David, he was saying, if it was my enemy, I can understand. But it wasn't my enemy. It was someone who come in the same house I come into to praise God. Now, that's a hurtful thing. And that's where church hurt come in at. So many people have been so church hurt that they ain't got over the church hurt. So somebody that's really there for them, they don't want to be a part of that because they're afraid you're going to do me just like somebody else did me. So I can't get close to you. You're not getting close to them. You're hearing what they're saying that's coming through the word of God, and that's helping you get close to God and not to that person. So David, he ran. He ran from Saul. He went into a territory that he did not supposed to be into. I want to ask you again today, how many of you are living with your enemies? And when the Lord had me to direct it that way, I'm like, wow, God, you mean people are living with anger? People are living with offense? People are living in ways that they should not be living? Yes, and then we lay down and think we all right. You know why we lay down and think we all right? Because we done got so used to being that way, that everybody else is wrong and we're right. But this is why God has given you the Holy Spirit, to show you what the enemy is desiring to do. That's why when you're in the Word, the Holy Spirit is only going to testify to the Word, which is Jesus. He's only going to tell you what the Word says. He's only going to witness according to the Word. So if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit, that means that you're grieving Him. That means that you're quenching Him. That means that you know everything and yet know nothing. You have to get to the point as you are a Christian in the walk with God that you're humbling yourself to the point that you're walking so low that no matter what people say, even if they're wrong, you still let them think they're right because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. You don't have to justify yourself because when you speak the word is going to work for itself. Tell your neighbor, say, quit trying to justify yourself. So we see that David went into the Philistines' territory. This was the king of Gath. This was the same king that David, when he was running from Saul, I believe, he met up with this king, and they said, is this not David who killed Goliath? And began to say how he killed his 10,000. And then David began to act like a madman in front of this king to get away from this king. And he thought that David was crazy. And that's how David got away from him. Now David is back in the same territory, and he's asking him for favor. So this king allowed David to come live amongst them, and he gave him Ziklag. Remember, Ziklag was already part of Israel, but they end up taking it from them. So he ended up giving him Ziklag, and it said he stayed there a year and 4 months. Now when David stayed there, David had to win favor with this king, and how he did it, he had this king thinking that he was going in and invading Israel. He had him thinking that he was killing the people in Israel. So David was lying to him, and he made it look like this is what was happening, but this is not what was happening. So this king of Gath, he was telling him, he said, come on, we're getting ready to fight Israel. Come on and go with us. Do y'all know David said, yeah, I'll go. So David was going with him to fight against his own people. See, when you're living in the enemy territory, you begin to bow down to that enemy. You begin to serve that enemy because you manipulating that enemy, but you in it with the enemy. And the enemy knows how to manipulate. So here goes David, and God reminded me how Satan told Jesus in Matthew 4. He said, look at all the kingdoms. I'll give this to you if you bow down to me. What was David doing? He was bowing down. How many of us in this room today have bowed down to something? Because if you're still angry and you ain't dealing with anger and anger is dealing with you, that's who you're serving. So when you're bowing down to it, you're serving it. And that's what David was doing with this king. So finally, when David said he would go, he went with this king. And when he went with the king, here come this other Philistine telling him, do you know who this is? This is David. This is the same David that fought Goliath. He was reminding him, he can't go with us. Because if he go with us, you don't know what he would do against us. So this king told David to go back to Ziklag. So David, of course, he went back to Ziklag. When he got back there, the Amalekites had burnt up Ziklag, took their children, took their wives, took the people, and had burned it up. Now David, he began to cry out. Now I want you to understand, when David in the beginning began to say, I'm going to perish by the hand of Saul, he wasn't crying out with God.
Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast on today. If you have a testimony on how this broadcast has truly blessed your life, please call us at 866-907-6836. If you would like a copy of the teaching in its entirety, you can contact us at 866-907-6836. You may write us at Miracle Temple Deliverance Ministries, Post Office Box 1042, Burgall, North Carolina 28425. Visit us on the internet at www.mtdm.org.